Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Kalpataru Power Transmission Limited and JMC Projects Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings call of Kalpataru Power Transmission and JMC Projects. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Manish Mohnot, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Amit Uplenchwar, Director of Group Strategy and Subsidiary Operations, Mr. Ram Patodia, President, Finance and CFO, and Mr. S.K. Tripathi, Managing Director and CEO of JMC Projects. I'll now hand over the floor to Mr. Manish Mohnot for his initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhoomika, and good morning and a warm welcome to everyone for the KPTL and JMC Q4 and full year earnings conference call. Trust each one of you and your families are keeping safe and are in good health. The initial few minutes, I will focus on my thoughts on the strategic aspects of the business, and later I will share the notable highlights of our financial and operational performance. The operating environment continues to remain challenging with the recent geopolitical conflicts, high commodity prices, and disruptions in supply chain. In the midst of this headwind, we have made notable progress on many strategic fronts. In line with the efforts to prioritize growth in the core EPC business, we have significantly scaled up our T&D and civil businesses during the year. We have also enhanced our international reach and achieved significant breakthrough in securing large-sized EPC orders. By doing this, we are consistently improving our competitive position and business mix with emphasis on segments and markets that have higher growth outlook and better margin profile. Our consolidated order book visibility, including L1, is at an all-time high of over 40,000 crores. In financial year 2022, we have entered four new countries, taking our global footprints to 67 countries. We have improved our market standing by securing high-value projects in the T&D, water, B&F, and urban infra space. In the T&D business, we have secured single largest order till date in our history of 3,276 crores in the South America market. It's not Brazil. Additionally, we secured our first international order for the B&F business in Maldives and oil and gas pipeline projects in the Middle East. JMC's water business has achieved record order inflows of rupees 3,286 crores in 2022, significantly expanding its geographical reach within India. In the road business, we have won two new projects in Africa valued over 2,200 crores. In the urban infra business, we are L1 in a large-sized airport project in Asia and has emerged as a top bidder for a metro rail project in India. The average size of most of our recent order wins, including the ones which we are L1, is over 900 crores. Moreover, around 75% of these orders have price variation clause or are long-term in nature, which will very well safeguard us from the current volatility in the markets. Our subsidiary, Linjemontage, has reported good growth in revenue and profitability since our acquisition in March 2019. We have almost doubled the size of the business. In Fasttel Brazil, we are strengthening the organization alongside integrating the systems and processes in line with KPTL, and they have reported a loss for Q4. In line with our vision and efforts to become a leading EPC company, the board of KPTL approved the scheme of merger of JMC with KPTL in February 2022. This is a significant milestone for both the companies to unleash their growth potential and drive the next phase of growth. The merger will help integrate diverse EPC capabilities in the high-growth segments and markets. The merged entity will benefit from operational and cost synergies arising from scale and size of the combined business. The merger will also enable us to bid for large-sized complex projects along with improved management bandwidth. Moreover, the combined entity will have a strong balance sheet and financial flexibility to invest in core EPC business to create long-term value and achieve our vision of a $3 billion revenue organization by 2025. The process of getting necessary approvals for the merger are underway and progressing as per schedule. The merger is expected to be completed by Q4 of 23. In financial year 22, we have also made considerable progress on our deleveraging journey with improvement in working capital management, record number of project closures, and completion of divestment of C&D boot assets. We have reduced our consolidated debt by 45% from 20 levels. Our net debt is at 1,902 crores with a net debt to equity ratio of 0.43x. We have been successful in reducing our debt alongside pursuing business growth, CAPEX and M&As over the past few years. We are working hard for resolution of our road board assets and anticipate favorable results in the coming quarter. We expect to complete restructuring of Wainganga Road project in the first half of this year as we have received majority of approvals from the lenders. Simultaneously, we have started refinancing process for Vindhyachal Road project. We expect our cash outflows to come down with the completion of restructuring of WEPL. In regards to our Indore real estate project, we have achieved sales of around 60% of units and received cash flow of around 160 crores from project till date. We plan to complete the balance sale in the current financial year. Now let me provide you with key highlights of our financial and operational performance. At KPTL consol level, we have delivered robust performance with top line growth, stable margins and notable drop in debt levels. Our consol revenue grew by 1% in Q4 and 14% for full year to 14,777 crores. Our revenue growth was on back strong execution in D&F, water and international T&D subsidiaries. Revenue of LNG Sweden was 1191 crores and Fossil Brazil was 548 crores for full year 22. LNG has achieved a revenue growth of 12% YOY with improved profitability. Our consolidated EBITDA margins remain under pressure with elevated level of commodity freight and other input pressure. EBITDA margin was 7.3% in Q4 and 8.6% in financial year 22. Our PBT was 157 crores in Q4 and 696 crores in financial year 22. PBT margin for full year 22 was 4.7%. Our PAT was 115 in Q4 and 535 crores for full year 22. Consolidated net debt was at 1902 crores, which is a decline of 17% compared to last year. Our net working capital has improved from 102 days in 21 to 98 days in 22. Our consolidated order inflows was 18,161 crores in 22, which is a growth of 11% compared to previous year. Our consolidated order book as on 31st March was 32,761 crores, up 17% YOY. Till date in financial 22-23, we have received new orders of 3,819 crores. Additionally, we have L1 of around 4,200 crores spread across water, urban infra and T&D business. The Board of Directors of KPTL have recommended a dividend of Rs. 6.5 per share, which is in line with our dividend policy of 15 to 20% of PAT as dividend. At KPTL standalone level, revenue was 2010 crores in Q4 and 7062 crores for financial year 22. Our revenue declined due to lower order inflows during the first half of the year, lower dispatches in the T&D business, and slow project progress in few oil and gas pipeline projects. T&D revenues including Linje Montage and Pastel grew by around 8% and railways revenue grew by 2%, while oil and gas revenue declined by around 20%. We were able to maintain EBITDA margin of 8.5% in Q4 and 9.2% for financial 22. We have prudently made provision for CTC account by cost on account of high commodity costs on existing projects and we have provided for 118 crores on CTC losses in Q4 for the next year. Our lower revenue growth and fallen EBITDA margin has led to fallen PBT and PAT. Our net debt has declined by 47% YOY to 414 crores. This is in line with the guidance to be a significantly lower or negligible debt company. KPTL, along with Linjemontage and Fasttel, received orders of 8,151.9 crores in 2022. Our closing order book as on 31st March 2022 at standalone is 15,759 crores. We have received new orders of 1,626 crores till date in the current financial year 2023. Additionally, we have a L1 position of 1,500+ crores, largely in our T&D business. I would like to highlight a typo in our investors presentation on slide number 14. T&D share in total KPTL standard order book is 71% instead of the typo of 61%. Please note that. In JMC standalone, we reported strong revenue growth of 16% in Q4 and 45% for full year 2022 to 5,353 crores. Our revenue growth was driven by robust execution in B&F and water business. JMC's EBITDA business was at 8.5% in Q4 and 7.9% for full year 2021. Our EBITDA margin was impacted given higher commodity and other input costs. We expect margin to improve going forward as most of the projects have price escalation provisions in JMC. Our PBT before exceptions and ECL provision was 66 crores in Q4 and 166 crores for full year 2022. ECL provisions and exception items pertaining to road BOOT SPVs have impacted profitability for full year 2022. Our net debt at 640 crores at the end of March 2022 is much lower compared to the net debt of 512 crores in the previous year. The increase in debt is on account of growth in working capital, CapEx, and investment in road BOOT assets, largely towards repayment. JMC received record order inflows of 10,199 crores in 2022, and order book is at a high, all-time high of 17,139 crores at the end of March 2022. JMC has also received new orders of 2,193 crores till date in 2023. There is an additional L1 position of around 2,700 crores. Going forward, we'll continue with a strategy to drive sustainable and profitable growth by, one, accelerating growth in core business. Second, building efficiencies to improve competitiveness. Third, sharpen capabilities by improving integration of JMC and KPTL. Strengthening balance sheet through debt reduction, exit of non-core business, and efficient capital management. Let me now conclude with the outlook and guidance for the next year. Despite the near-term headwinds due to fluctuations in commodity prices, geopolitical uncertainties, and high input costs, we remain favorably placed to navigate these challenges given our established EPC capabilities, strong order book, robust balance sheet, and well-diversified business mix. We expect consolidated revenue to grow in excess of 15% for next year, with PBT margin in the range of 5%. We will target consolidated order inflows of over 21,000 crores for full year 2023. We will continue with our deleveraging journey by actively looking to exit non-core business and improving our capital management. We further target debt reduction of around 300 crores-400 crores in financial year 2023. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Good morning, and congratulations for managing in such a tough environment. Sir, my first question is, I mean, if you can just give us some more color on this 3,200 crores of single ticket order that we have taken. What is the nature of this order? This is a EPC contract, and what's the timeline? I mean, just trying to understand from the risk perspective, to be honest, right? Because it's quite a big ticket size order.
Sure. Morning, Swarnim. Swarnim, this is order of around 700 kilometers of a T&D line, end-to-end EPC to be delivered in Chile. This order has three components. The first component is engineering design and necessary approvals, which will continue for the first 12-18 months. Then we start with an EPC project which needs to be delivered over a period of 36 to 42 months. The entire order, whether it's design, whether it is procurement, whether it is construction, is with us. The client has responsibility for environment and ROW, which will be done by the client in that part of the country. So the order has to be executed over a period of 5 to 6 years. It's a large, two large developers in that country. And we have to do the end-to-end EPC.
Okay, but okay, you mentioned the execution period is 5 to 6 years.
So as I said earlier, first 18 months is primarily engineering and design. You know, at such large orders, engineering and design take time, right? And which is a significant component where we'll have to put all the efforts, and post that the execution will start. So from a revenue perspective, there's only less than 10% of the order's revenue which comes in the first 18 months and balance after that.
All right. And safe to say this would be funded by multilateral agencies?
So this is funded by three large developers in that part of the world. I wouldn't be able to give you the exact names, but they are developers whose net worth is in billions and billions of dollars. Right? So they have won a concession project and we are the EPC project. They are very, very large developers. They are much bigger than any organization we have in our country.
All right. Okay, got it, sir. So secondly, in the last quarter, we had mentioned that, the execution had got postponed to Q4 because of some delay, and it was a strategic call on delay in dispatches. But I think the Q4 still continued to be same in terms of execution challenges. We can understand on the margin pressures and all because of commodity. But just wanted to better understand on the execution front.
So, no, you're right, Swaran. Q4 also we had some challenges, right? Primarily on supply chain logic issue more than anything else. You know, as an organization, we have not delayed anything because of commodity pricing, and that's why we continue to take CTC losses. But supply chain continued to be a dampener, right? Availability of, and the entire Ukraine thing happened, and then the China thing happened where, you know, the vessels got blocked, all of that. So supply chain continued to be a challenge. We see that challenge continuing even in the current quarter. And that's why I'm targeting more growth at a console level of 15%. You know, KPTL standalone could still have growth challenges in the current year. We're definitely growing because it's a degrowth compared to the previous year and we have visibility of order book. But yes, supply chain disruptions continue to be a challenge while we speak now.
All right. Got it, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Narendra Malchekar from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, with regards to your guidance for 15% plus sales growth at console level, like, is it fair to assume that this growth will largely be driven by JMC portfolio as T&D continues to face execution headwinds? And if you exclude the HVDC order, inflows for T&D have fairly been weak. So what would be your guidance for the standalone business in inflows and revenue for FY23, and also what is the sort of fixed price contracts share of fixed price contract in your order book, and how do you see the standalone margins going from here with the lows of 8.5% seen in 4Q?
Excellent. I think you've asked me all the questions in one, which is good. Okay, so let me go step by step. Yes, you are right. I think a significant portion of the growth comes from JMC. So our internal targets is KPTL would grow in the range of 10 to 15%, JMC would grow at the range of 15 to 20%. Why are we confident of the 10 to 15%? Because we have also received some orders in last few weeks which we have declared, where delivery can start immediately. So confidence of 10 to 15% is visible because the visibility on that in the current order book is good. Right? Second, where do we expect margins to be? So as we have declared at a console level, we expect PBT without any exceptions to be in the range of 5%, right, which converts to an increase in PBT. If you look at on a standalone or a console or a standalone basis, an improvement of closer to 15 to 20% compared to what we have reported today. At a EBITDA level, we expect both the companies to be in the range of 9%. We are not projecting 10% what we have seen in the previous year as of now, because although we've seen some softening in commodity prices last 2-3 weeks, but we would still like to wait for a few more, because steel is something which is very volatile. We would still like to wait for a few more months before we revise those targets. On this, so 1, 2, 3, then you had a question on saying that visibility on T&D. I think the visibility on T&D has improved significantly in the last 3 to 4 months, driven by a lot of factors. One, international funding agencies have started bidding for projects again. They've started funding projects again, and that's a big thing in the international market. Second, on domestic market, you're seeing a lot of states coming out with projects, and you know, even PGCIL coming up with cost plus, which all of us are aware of. You know, the entire Leh Ladakh, which is a big thing for PGCIL, where we should have a reasonable share. So with that, I think achieving that 10 to 15% growth for KPTL in the current year would not be a challenge. The last question you had was on a 21,000 crores order book target. I think as of now, it's equally divided. Both the companies have a target of being in the range of 10 to 11,000 crores of fresh order inflows. As of now, today, we have visibility of around 7,500 crores, you know, including what we have declared today. And our own view is that achieving that 21,000 plus crores should not be a challenge given the current visibility. Hope I've answered everything. Is there anything I left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I think I've answered everything.
Thank you, sir, for that.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kandpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is on the CPC provisions.
Sir, sorry to interrupt. If you can take the phone off speaker, please.
My first question is on the CPC provision. So how much of CPC provision has been taken in the fourth quarter of FY22?
Morning, Parikshit. I think I just declared that number. We've taken a provisioning of 118 crores, primarily in KPTL, on a lot of projects where, based on the commodity price of 31st March, we have taken some provisioning. We follow this policy driven by our corporate governance norms as well as driven by the requirements of auditors, where we look at the pricing as of 31st March. We do believe that there could be some savings in this once looking at the current meltdown in commodity which we have seen over the last two quarters. But our provision is at 118 crores in Q4 on CTC.
So at the 31st March prices fell, so what kind of margin is the prices remain at that level? So what kind of margin? So you said 9% is what you are guiding for, but if the prices remain at that level, so is the price assumed that we have assumed almost double-digit margin if the prices remain at 31st March level?
So Parikshit, as I said, I just don't want to comment on that at this stage because, you know, the volatility is so high. We saw steel coming down by 2,000 rupees last week. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What we are clearly guiding is a PBT margin at a consol in the range of 5%, right? And that's something which we are guiding, looking at everything what we have looked at today. We would come back with revised guidance on margins if we see this volatility, meaning a reduction in prices continuing. Clearly, if it continues to go down, you'll see margins going up. But I just don't want to comment on it right now because it's completely external driven, not driven by any one of us, either on the call or in the room today.
Oh, sure, sir. So my second question is on the Kohima transmission, so monetization. So if you can reconcile in the cash flows how it is getting reflected, because part of it is funded through debt and then through loans and advances, structured debt, and then as equity. So how is it reflecting in the cash flows in the people?
Amazing question. I'll have to come back to you on this, Parikshit, whether it comes from cash from operations or cash from investment. My own understanding would be, and I'm going to take help of Ram on that.
Interesting.
Ram, the entire thing comes, so what our CFO has confirmed is the entire thing comes from cash flow from investing activities.
Because I just see that about 157 crores has come in from the proceeds from sale of subsidiary and joint venture. So I understand it was about 500 crores which has come to us. If we can, if Ram can help us, if he doesn't have it handy, maybe later in the call, if you can clarify how it is.
So our equity, what to the extent we have our equity, that wouldn't come in cash flow from investing activities, right? Ram, maybe you could answer this.
And then there is a loan amount also, which is a forming part of recoverable from this buyer, which is also forming part of my investment activity. So we divided that entire cash flow into two or three lines based on the requirement as per accounting standard.
Maybe break it on a smaller book, we might be able to give you the details.
Sure, sir, sure. And so just my last question. So the Linjo Montage and Fastel, so you did mention about the revenues. So revenues have fallen in the fourth quarter. You mentioned there's a growth in Linjo Montage about 12%. So if you can just comment on why the revenues have fallen in the fourth quarter for both the entities and what is the total annual profitability of these two entities at the EBITDA level?
So, I think it's just a mix of orders more than anything else. You know, Q4 for Linjo Montage continues to be a quarter where weather impact is also there, but it's just a mix of order book more than anything else for both of them, right? As far as next year is concerned, we expect both the business to grow only at a single digit level, okay? Because Linjo Montage has grown significantly over the last 3 years. They've doubled themselves in 3 years, and normally, you know, after 3-4 years, it's time to revisit growth, get the team in well, system and processes. So Linjo Montage, we expect a growth of only 5-10% in the current year. As far as Fastel is concerned, we have taken a loss provisioning of around 27 crores in the current year, in financial 22, with a number which is closer to 35 crores in Q4. With this, we do not believe that Fastel would have any losses going forward. This is all as far as losses are concerned, because the whole order book is delivered. They're today sitting on orders which they won in the last 6 months only. So going forward, Fastel also we expect EBITDA to be positive more in the range of 8-9% only. As far as both the business together are concerned, we do not expect them to grow beyond 5-7% in the current year.
Okay, and what was the EBITDA margin for LMG, sir? LMG Montage for FY22?
So the it was in the range of, so if you look at gross and net, and I am saying net because there are some put call options for which we have to do a provisioning. So at the net level, it continues to be in the range of 6-7%.
Okay. Okay. And both these entities remain debt-free, right? There is no debt on.
No. So Linjo Montage remains debt-free. It has surplus cash. They've also declared some good dividends, which you should see in our books coming into Q1. As far as Fastel is concerned, they have a small debt which has come up in Q4.
Okay. Sure, sir. Those were my questions. I'll join with you for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Manish ji and SKT on an excellent performance in challenging time.
Good morning.
Sir, now on the merger, I mean, a large part of the FY23 have been, asked by the people. But so, if we look at any 3 years perspective post-merger, I mean, we have stated that we expect a rupees 100 crore benefit in operational side. Is that fair understanding?
Yes.
And this will be more of a front-loaded or back-loaded saving. And how much could be the saving in finance cost, I mean, overall finance, if we look at, I mean, only core business?
So, you know, a significant portion of the saving will be in the finance cost. It's not that. So if I divide the saving into three areas, one is finance cost, second is operational efficiencies, right? So a significant portion will be in finance cost, because today the rating of the two divisions are different, the profile of debt is different, all of that. As far as operational efficiencies are concerned, we do not see significant reduction happening in people cost, because with the growth, I think we'll be absorbing all the people we have. We will actually have to recruit more people. So, but we expect operational efficiencies to come in, you know, making sure that we have the best of the processes, making sure that there's focus on delivering before time, and that's going to be a big advantage also. That's why we're saying 100 to 150 crores saving, which is what we have projected, looks visible. And that's also there in our margin guidance. We look at it, we are at around 8.6% consolidated EBITDA in the current year, and we are saying we'll be in the range of 9%. That's visible there also.
Okay, fair. And this 8.6 is despite, I mean, writing off, and 9%, we may further, if commodity price sustain at this level, then there could be some benefit. Is that fair understanding?
So on a write-off at EBITDA level is minimal. I think the write-off is more beyond EBITDA. At EBITDA level, we've hardly had any write-offs, right? Yeah.
Okay. And coming to now on this, where we have, say, in your initial opening remarks, we have received one L1 in airport side in Asia also, which has been given on the slide number 4. And we were also in the tunneling project. So what are the status of this new area of verticals that we are entering?
Yeah, so Bharat bhai, good morning. SKT here. So airport, yes, we are L1 in a large airport in Asia. I will not give the specific details, but this is the sector which we have been trying to get in for a long time in India as well as the international. And we see a good visibility of this business building up in Africa going forward. And that is why we have pitched on a single large EPC project, which brings us the PQ. Coming to your second part of the question, tunneling, yes, strategically we are trying to enter this business, but currently what we have here, Manish has said in the opening remark, we are L1 in a large metro project, which is basically an elevated corridor, which we have executed in the past also.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were L1 in one tunneling project.
Just to add to that.
See, we were, L1 at the end of Q3 in one tunnel project. So what is the status of that project?
So that, Bharat bhai, that project is still in question with government, where some security clearances have been raised by the government because we had a Turkish partner. We are trying to resolve that problem. So it's still, matter is in the court. This is under sub judice.
Okay. And Manish, the...
And Bharat bhai, this road we have not taken in our L1 numbers, right?
This tunneling project.
This tunneling project.
Okay. Fair. Manish, you said that is this gross borrowing, net borrowing is at console level is 1900. So how much is that core level? And if we really reduce, divest some of the road projects, so these 300-400 crore savings, what you are talking is over and above, if we divest some of the borrowing may go out?
So our core level debt, if you look at KPTN and EPC together, KPTN and JMC together is around 1100 crores net debt. We have not taken any proceeds from divestment into our target 300 plus crores reduction in net debt. If that happens, it will be over and above that. This 300 to 400 crores comes only out of internal efficiencies, working capital, project closures, and a focus on being lowly leveraged from a long-term perspective. So we have not taken, yes, we have taken Indore in this because we expect a lot of cash flows to come. We have targeted around 125 crores of cash flows to come out of Indore in the current year. And that is included in this 300 to 400 crores number.
Okay. And any update on with this restructuring and divestment plan of the road as well as our logistic business?
So, you want to... So, I think, what I mentioned earlier also, we are in advanced stage of discussion with bankers on both of them. We've got all the approvals except one bank, and post which we will apply to NHAI. We're pushing to get that approval in the next few weeks. Post that NHAI, whatever time it takes. As far as refinancing is concerned, on one of the projects, we've got a couple of proposals from large bankers and NBFCs. We're working on that also, and hopefully Q2, we should be able to give you clarity on that. As far as Shubham Logistics is concerned, I think, that's something which could take some more time because that business has headwinds which are very different today. With the increase in wheat prices and commodity prices, you're seeing warehousing revenue come down by closer to 25% in Q4, right? Because people are just exporting. But yes, last Friday, the government has banned export of wheat and that would have an impact. But as of now, we've kept that on a back burner. I don't see that happening in 22-23 for sure, and we have not budgeted for anything out of that in our targeted debt reduction. But yes, we have declared that as non-core, and it's only a matter of time that we start looking at it as either a strategic investor or any other option for that business.
Okay, and last question, post-merger with the strong network, so how much incremental, say, on the project bidding side, will be, say, currently if we are bidding only for hypothetically 500 or 1000 crore from JMC. So post that, how much are that limit can increase?
So today we don't have a challenge from a, bandwidth perspective of bidding for any size projects. But
strategically, we are saying that we would be bidding for high-value projects only, merging the strengths of engineering and civil across the two companies. There will be one company and we should be declaring the name soon. Strategically, our focus is we will continue to bid for large projects only unless, you know, strategically we need to, it's a new entry strategy, new country strategy, any of that. But the focus would be shifting to bidding for large projects only.
Last question, Manish, we said that in 74% is with the price escalation, I mean, whatever order we have won. So my belief is that in international, it's a fixed price contract. So these things are changing from here on?
So yes, you know, we've seen, we've also recently signed an international contract where the client has in principle agreed for a variable price. So slowly and steadily, we are pushing clients. I'm not saying that we've been successful a lot in saying that, you know, this kind of volatility is something we as contractors can't absorb. And we're pushing this domestic and international. Have we succeeded? My view is out of the last 5 contracts bid, we've succeeded in 2, right? Which is not bad, but we would have loved to succeed in all 5. So it's a mindset change which will happen over a period of time. And for all you know, if commodities meltdown happens and we come back to reasonable levels, you know, the push could be different. But yes, we are pushing for, you know, at least the volatility being absorbed by the developers instead of the EPC contractors.
Okay. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prem Khurana from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. My questions are with respect to JMC. So just, I mean, to begin with, I mean, when I look at our order backlog and look at the composition, infra is almost around 53% now. I think when we embark on this journey to kind of diversify our order backlog, we used to be around 10% on infra side. The idea was to kind of go to 30, and we have come to almost around 53. Given the fact that it's become a large part of the order backlog now, so and at the same time, your private sector F&B seems to be making a comeback now with residential real estate cycle going good. So do you see this mix to sustain at these numbers, or do you get to a thought process where, I mean, the private F&B could again become larger than infra going forward? And also, if you could share your thoughts on how would the international and domestic mix be? It's become, I think, as of now, it's around 22% international, which used to be negligible for us, and given the fact that we're looking at some more international geographies. So fair to assume, I mean, international could also go up even further.
Yeah, so going forward, the B&S is getting a lot of traction domestically, but we are also expanding B&F also now on the international foray. And a few successes have been there, and going forward, so to answer your question, this ratio of the B&F private driven will keep reducing because our focus today, domestic side, we have huge opportunities on the government side. And the international also, our 100% projects are multilateral funded or so-called the government funded. There's nothing private funded. Now with the increased size in the order booking, which is now being driven by the international and water, this ratio will further get skewed. And but B&F also will grow along with the other government opportunities. So to answer your question, the non-B&F, non-private business will keep on increasing proportionately going forward, say, next 2 to 3 years horizon.
Sure. And it is unlikely to have any change in the working capital cycle that we get to have. And if it is, let's say, comparison between private and public orders, the working capital cycle, I mean, you assume it will be the same, right, with both the segments?
It will remain same, and it keeps changing based on the market condition, and we keep moderating it depending on the market condition, right? So whether we moderate the order inflow, we will, if we find that cash flow inflows are tight, then we go and focus somewhere else. I think it is more of a moderation seeing the overall situation of the sectors.
Sure. And so, I mean, in this order backlog, almost 17,000 odd crore rupees, how much would be water orders, and possible to share, I mean, how much would be bought out component in these waters? I mean, because there the margin ideally should be lower than, I mean, what we make with the proper pure EPC projects on the bought out components.
possible to share, I mean, how much is order backlog in this and how much is bought out portion in these water orders?
So water will be out of 17,000, water will be about 7,000 crore. Out of this, the bought out will be almost 70% of the this will be bought out. Most of the water contracts, they are covered by the escalation. But recently, due to the very sharp dip in the commodity prices, the indices, they never move so quickly as the commodity prices. And that is why we have seen some erosion in the profitability. But as the market stabilizes, I think the water contracts, the margin, overall margin profile is better than the average what we are showing for the company as a whole. And we see this kind of visibility to continue at least for next 1 to 2 years.
And just two more, if I may. One was, I mean, essentially on, if you could share the status on the assets there, I mean, the road BOT that we're planning to sell, where are we in terms of our efforts now?
So asset sale at the moment, seeing the current situation, we are not seeing any traction in the market realistically. But we have reworked on the strategy. Now one asset is already terminated. There we are working with NHAI and the bankers to settle the termination payment. So that cash outflow, yearly cash outflow is stopped. The WEPL, there we are already, we briefed in the manager's brief that we are working on the restructuring. Something should happen in the Q1. The VEPL, it's sort of self-sustaining and we are going for the refinance there. Hopefully that should happen, say, in next 2 quarters. And Agra Aligarh, anyway, BBEPL is a small asset, so it is self-sustaining. So these two assets now with the current revenue spectrum, which has now touched to about 58 lakh rupee per day, right? Yeah, so there is, if you look at these assets, including repayments, they are, we need a revenue of about 66 lakh. Last year they were earning 47 lakh and now they are at about 58 lakh rupee per day. If this trend continues, it significantly improves the health of the both portfolio and our obligations to fund more and more reduces. So this is our overall strategy here. One asset we will refinance, one asset we will restructure, and one asset we are trying to settle with the NHAI on the termination payment.
Sure. And just one last, I mean, so I think in your earlier remarks, I mean, you spoke about kind of getting into newer segments. So would that need you to kind of incur some more incremental capex, I mean, over and above what we generally get to have in terms of run rate? So you spoke about, I think, underground metro, and you're getting into airports as well. And the idea is to kind of take up some more orders on airports in Africa. So would that need you to kind of incur capex, which is in excess of, I mean, the run rate generally that we get to have with us?
So we are trying to balance the overall portfolio. If I look at water, they don't require any capex, and that is what we are leveraging to build other businesses, right? So if the water business requires only 3% capex, maybe underground and the airports, they require 10 to 15% level of capex. We are balancing both that so that the overall capex investment remains in the bound. And anyway, with the merged entity going forward, we'll have the better ability to fund the capex, which are particularly in the underground project, which are very capital intensive. And that is what currently the our strategy to fund the capital intensive project and the balance the portfolio on the capex side.
How much are we targeting? I mean, if you could share the absolute number for FY23 in terms of capex, that'll be my last question. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Capex number for FY23.
So on a consolidated basis, we expect capex to be in the range of 300 crores for FY23.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainam Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is related to the road assets of the JMC. So, sir, if you see that the Kurukshetra that we have given the termination notice to the NHAI and we have also provided for the some of the provisions in our books. So, sir, I wanted to know how much investment is still there in our books for the KEPL in terms of equity plus loans plus some quasi-equity if we have.
So, KEPL, everything is provided. There is nothing left to be provided in KEPL.
and our investments today stand at a number closer to zero.
Okay, and sir, any amount to be received from NHAI would be directly going to the lenders for the repayment of the loan. So there will not be any incremental payment from our side in the coming 1 year, like in the formality of this termination.
So that is our best endeavor. As per the concession provisions, NHAI is supposed to pay to the lenders what is due to them. But knowing NHAI, it is a journey we have to travel with them. I'm sure you understand the way the NHAI conducts on these issues. So we have received the engineer recommendation, which says that with the full debt obligation of the bankers can be paid off. NHAI is evaluating it. We are working with them and we'll come to know in, by the end of this quarter how NHAI is going to handle this issue.
Okay, okay. And sir, any adjusted equity kind of thing that we are expecting to get back? Like, although we have provided everything, but any kind of positive cash flow we can expect from this particular asset?
No.
Okay. And sir, you said that we were requiring 66 lakhs for the this three road assets, for the overall repayment of the three road assets. So are we factoring into any major maintenance into that 66 lakhs, or any major maintenance will be over and above it? So what I believe is that there might be some major maintenance cycle in upcoming 1 to 2 years for one of the projects.
So let me rephrase what I have said. 66 lakh rupees is the subsistence revenue including the debt obligations, right? And currently we are at 58 lakh rupees compared to the 47 lakh of last year. So there is a lesser pain now to manage these assets. That is the point number one. As far as the major maintenance is concerned, this is to be funded separately, which is not part of this number, right? And we don't have major repair obligations, which are there maybe in 24, 25. But there also we have taken a strategy where we are spreading the major maintenances, because if there was no traffic last 7-8 years and there was no revenue, there is no immediate need to do the major repairs. And those repairs we are spreading over a period of 2 to 3 years strategically in order to contain the funding requirements.
Okay, okay, got it, sir. And sir, if we just take a scenario that this refinancing of WEPL and this the VEPL takes some more time, then any how much funding is expected for FY23? As we have done 81 crore for this FY22, so any ballpark number for coming 2 years for this funding, like is it like 8 lakhs in 2-3-60 days, something like that?
So last year our total funding in these SPVs was to the extent of 140 crore. This year it is to be expected to be in the range of about 80 crore. 70 to 80 crore, depending on how the revenue comes on the full year cycle.
Okay, okay. And so the 140 crore that you were told versus 81 crore reported into the presentation, so this balance 60 crore is for the Kurukshetra, if I'm not wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, 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 sir. Thank you. Yeah, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Tina Virmani from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is related to KPTL standalone. We have seen a sharp increase in the working capital requirement for KPTL standalone. So what exactly contributed to that sharp increase, and going ahead, how do we see that panning out for the company? So are the CTC provisions which are taken for around 118 crores, are they part of the working capital, or is it part of the overall expenditure which the company has reported?
So good morning, Tina. I think you answered a few questions yourself, which is good. So let me answer the last one. Yes, provisions continue to be part of working capital first. Second, why has the working capital days gone up? There are two specific reasons. You know, one, we have focused on not increasing our customer advances given the interest rates, given our low debt levels, right? That's a conscious call of not increasing customer advances where the interest rates are much, much higher. And second, consciously, last two quarters, we've also made sure that creditors' payment is much higher than it would typically be. So our creditor days have come down significantly at a KPTL standalone level. Both are conscious efforts, right, given the low interest rates and given that we have a low debt.
As I said earlier, on a consolidated basis, we are targeting to be in the range of 90 to 100 days as far as net working capital is concerned, and we're pretty confident we'll be there.
So, sir, even if I adjust this this creditor days and the, another adjustment related to CTC provisioning, then also the working capital cycle is much higher. So, going down to almost around 90 to 100 days would require a correction of somewhere in the range of 35 to 40 days of correction from the current levels of FY22. So, do you think it is possible in the next 1 to 2 years when we know that the environment is a little volatile?
So, I'll just, you know, be very clear on what I said. On a consolidated basis, we expect 90 to 100 days. As far as capital is concerned, we will continue to be at a slightly higher level. You know, and the current environment, because we are still, you know, with that low debt and all of that, we are still not taking too many customer advances. So from 134 days, we definitely plan to bring it down to levels of 120 odd days in the next year or so. But it's not going to be significantly lower. At JMC, it will be lower, and consol, we should be in the range of 92. So from 134, our target would be getting it down closer to 120 levels by the end of next year.
Okay, got it, sir. And then my second question is on overall consol revenues. Like if I see overall consol revenues are around 148 billion for 22, and standalone number, if I add up the standalone numbers and JMC numbers, there is still a shortfall. So where is this shortfall coming through? Because standalone is around 70.6 billion and JMC is around 55 billion. So where is the gap coming in from? Because Shubham, you mentioned that there are challenges on the growth side. So so what exactly is contributing to this gap between consol and these two entities?
So I think the biggest gap is KPTL Sweden, Linjay Montage, which is you know, closer to 1100 crores. Then there's Kalpathu Brazil, which is close to 500 plus crores. And then there's Shubham Logistics. So if you add all of that, because standalone, Linjay Montage and Brazil are not reported in the revenue. So if you add all of that,
okay, so this is not part of your revenues on the standalone basis.
Perfect.
Got
it. Together, both put together, they are around 1700 crores plus, Sweden and Brazil. And then you have Shubham also, around 120 crores.
Okay. My last question is regarding the guidance for GMC. So, given the fact that the order inflow for the company was quite good and order book is also very good, so why such a conservative guidance of around 15 to 20% for GMC? Is there any kind of delay that you see from the customer side to go slow, or in terms of payment? Otherwise, like when we normally see the order book, it's fairly strong. So, ideally, the growth should ideally be much more than 15 to 20% for GMC.
No, so I think you are right looking at the order book, that the numbers could be much better. We just want to be slightly conservative at this stage, right, because there are the global issues happening, all of that. But you're right, last year also we had guided GMC to be in the range of 20 and we have done 40, right? So current year also we believe that this could come up, but you'd just like to wait for one more quarter to be sure that what numbers would come up. But yes, you're right, 20 minimum is visible. It will go up beyond that only.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kanpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Just on the loss funding, sir. So last call, we had said that about 15 to 20 crores will be the recurring loss funding. So now it's again 70 to 80 crores number, which you have mentioned this quarter. So just if you can break up this number, is there any major maintenance included in this? Because we were expecting some 40 to 50 crores of major maintenance in FY23. So does that include that?
And Park, can you repeat your question once again?
So just on the loss funding, you said that in FY23, about 70 to 80 crores of loss funding will happen. So just wanted to understand from the last quarter call, you had said that about 15 to 20 crores will be the loss funding on a recurring basis. And there could be something which will come up on major maintenance in FY23. So this 70 to 80 crores, does it include any major maintenance?
Yes. So out of 70 to 80 crore, about 20 to 25 crore will be towards the maintenance obligation right? And the balance will be towards the loss fund.
This, the number seems to be on a higher side, sir, because we were looking at settling down this loss funding on a recurring basis to about 20-30 crores. So does it have an impact of delay in the restructuring of WEPL? That's why this number is higher. So just want to understand what would be the normal recurring loss funding from here on after the WEPL restructuring.
So you are right. Currently the numbers were, because the restructuring thing, if it gets delayed by another quarter or so, that is why these numbers we have still kept little on higher side, depending on the outcome with NHA.
But on a recurring basis, what could be the loss funding, sir? Including media maintenance and the delay, and assuming that the restructuring of WEPL happens. So from there on, how much could be the recurring?
Right. So if it happens, there could be a reduction of another 10 to 15 crore.
And on FY24, how much would be the loss funding after the restructuring?
24, we can come back to you, Kanpal, with the revised working because all will depend on the traffic scenario, right? So it will be wild guess putting any number now. But if the number goes, as I said, the subsistence revenue is at the level of 66 lakh. If it crosses that, then we have a lot of problems solved on these projects.
So I'll just give you a different perspective to it based on what SKT said. You know, 66 versus 57, we have a shortfall of closure to that 10, right? And if I put that number, assuming things don't improve that, then we're looking at a 35 to 40 crores funding only for debt management and interest. If the number 58 goes up to 62, great. If it comes down significantly, it's something. But as of now, if you look at the numbers given by SKT, there's a half mix of MMR and the balance is 35 to 40 crores is what will go out for, maintaining the cash flows on these three assets.
But so what is the impact of restructuring on these numbers?
Ideally, if it happens the way we want it, this number of 40 crores could come down to closer to a single digit crores getting into the next year. But as I said, ideally, right, because there's a final negotiation happening with the bankers, a few things up and down can happen. And that's why I just want to restrict that for maybe a few more quarters, because the moment it's done, we'll come back to you at the first instance to tell you exactly what the number would be.
Okay. The second question is on the elevated cash levels in the balance sheet, close to about 900 crores. So why such high cash levels, and what do you intend to do that with that cash?
So I think this cash levels only stay at the quarter end and the year end, primarily for various reasons which I just don't want to discuss on the call. Because we have banking limits which we need to utilize and all of that, because we have huge limits. So typically at quarter end and year end, you'll always see that we have high cash levels for a few days in our balance sheet.
Okay. This is last bit on the net debt free status, net cash status which you have mentioned, and also if you can mention about the pledges. So earlier the promoters have guided a pathway towards reducing this pledge. So where are we on the journey of reducing pledge, and when can some concrete action happening there?
So we continue to be on the date which we had given in the December quarter. We believe that starting Q2 the pledge will start coming down. That's what the promoter have told us, given the increase in sales and the kind of traction which real estate has. So we don't see pledge coming down in Q1, but what we have been given to inform by the promoters is that starting Q2, the pledge will start coming down.
And the net cash status at the KPTL level, if you can give some comments.
Net cash?
At the KPTL level, we were trying to reduce the debt to near zero. So if you can just give some color.
Again, it would be difficult to give you exact number at KPTL. As I said earlier, on a consolidated basis, and that's a better way to look at it, we expect debt to come down by 300 plus crores, and significant amount of this would be at KPTL, because Indore itself we are expecting 125 plus crores. So, but it's good to look at it on a consolidated basis, because hopefully, by the year end, when we declare this, will be one entity.
But Indore is how much is the residual cash flows, including what is unsold, which we can realize from that project now?
250 plus crores.
250?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Thomas George, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Manoj, and congratulations for a very successful set of results. I have just a small question in terms of, looking prospectively after the merger, what will be the employee size of our company, both the companies put together?
Good morning, Mr. George. So we are currently at levels of around 7,500 people on the merged entity. Given the growth prospects, we believe this could slightly go up. But our own projections is we should be in the range of a 7,500 crores level as far as employees are concerned.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. Good day, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, I would just like to thank everyone for their participation and particularly the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. So thank you very much and wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much, Bhumika, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.